All right, so today we're diving deep into a case that's all about the fine print and the not so fine print when it comes to contracts. Interesting. It's United Airlines v. Good Taste, Inc. Yes. And it really makes you think about what's fair in a legal sense versus what just feels wrong.
Yeah, I've heard of this one. It's a bit of a head scratcher for sure.
So we've got this catering company, Saucy Sisters, right?
Okay.
And they managed to snag a big catering contract with United Airlines.
Nice. That's a pretty sweet deal.
Yeah, you would think so, right?
Mm-hmm.
They invested $1 million to ramp up their operations to meet the demands of this contract.
Wow, that's a big commitment.
It is.
But what happened? Did something go wrong?
Oh, yeah, big time.
Okay, I'm all ears.
United Airlines ended up using a no-cause termination clause to break the contract early.
Oh, wow, so they just pulled the rug out from under Saucy Sisters.
Pretty much.
And $1 million just down the drain.
Exactly.
That's rough.
It is so, that begs the question, is this even legal? Can a company really just do that after someone's invested so heavily based on their word?
Well, that's where it gets tricky.
Okay, I'm intrigued.
It all comes down to this legal concept called the implied covenant of good faith and fair dealing.
Right. I've heard of that, but to be honest, I'm a little fuzzy on the specifics.
Yeah, it can be a bit dense.
Can you break it down for us? Like, what does it actually mean in plain English?
Sure. So basically it means that even if a contract explicitly allows something, like in this case, terminating the agreement without cause,
right,
you can't just use that provision to screw someone over. There's an expectation of fairness, even when the strict letter of the contract might seem to allow something that feels kind of wrong.
So Saucy Sisters argued that United was violating this principle of good faith and fair dealing by cutting them off like that.
Exactly.
Okay, so let's get into the nitty-gritty details of this contract. What did it actually say?
Well, the catering agreement was signed back in 1988 and had a 3-year term.
3 years? That's a decent amount of time.
You would think so, but here's the catch. There was this 90-day no-cause termination clause buried in the fine print.
Oh, boy. So basically, either party could just bail with 90 days notice, no questions asked.
Yep. That's essentially it. And that's exactly what United did. After just 1 year, they invoked that clause and said, sayonara to Saucy Sisters.
Ouch. Yeah, it's a tough situation.
So Saucy Sisters was understandably upset, right? They claimed that they were given verbal assurances that this clause, this termination clause, was only meant for extreme situations.
Like what?
Like if United Airlines completely ceased operations in Anchorage.
Oh, so like a doomsday scenario.
Exactly. Something totally unforeseen, not just a change of plans or a better deal elsewhere.
Got it. So it's basically a he said, she said situation with $1 million hanging in the balance.
You got it.
This is getting good. What happened next?
Well, the case ended up going to trial.
Yeah.
And the jury's verdict. Well, let's just say it was a bit confusing.
Or really, how so?
They actually found that United hadn't committed fraud.
Meaning they didn't intentionally mislead Saucy Sisters into signing the agreement.
Okay, but
here's where it gets weird. The jury still awarded Saucy Sisters over $1.5 million.
What?
For breach of the implied covenant of good faith and fair dealing.
Hold on. How can there be no fraud that's still a breach of good faith? Doesn't that seem contradictory?
It does, right? Yeah. That's what makes this case so fascinating and so tricky.
All right, you've got me hooked. Spill the beans. What's the explanation?
Well, remember that choice of law clause we talked about earlier? Mm. The one that dictates which state's law governs the contract.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember.
Well, in this case, the contract was subject to Illinois law, and that's a key piece of the puzzle.
Why? What's special about Illinois law?
Illinois law is known for having a very strict interpretation of at-will contracts.
Okay.
And the implied covenant of good faith and fair dealing. Basically, the court said, look, the express terms of the contract, you know what's actually written down black and white.
Right.
Those take precedence over any implied duties.
So even if it seems unfair, if the contract allows it, it's allowed.
Exactly. Even if it leaves a bad taste in your mouth, so to speak.
Oh, that's harsh.
It is. And the majority opinion actually stated, quote, no obligation can be implied which would destroy the unfettered right to terminate at will, end quote.
So basically, Saucy Sisters was out of luck because the contract explicitly gave United the right to terminate, even if it felt like a punch in the gut.
Yeah, it's a tough pill to swallow, but that's how the court saw it. But wait, there's another layer to this story.
Well, there is. Don't leave me hanging.
We've got to talk about the dissenting opinion.
Okay, now we're talking. Tell me more.
One of the judges on the panel actually disagreed with the majority ruling.
Interesting. So there was a judge who thought United was in the wrong, even though they technically followed the contract.
You got it.
Yeah.
This judge argued that the termination clause should be interpreted in light of that implied covenant of good faith and fair dealing.
Makes sense. So they felt that United, even if they had the right to pull the plug, shouldn't have done it in a way that just felt wrong, ethically speaking.
Exactly. And they felt that United's alleged motive for ending the contract should have been taken into consideration.
And what was their motive, supposedly?
Well, rumor has it they got a better deal from a competitor.
Classic. So basically, they bitched Saucy Sisters for a cheaper option.
That's the allegation. And this dissenting judge believed that a jury should have been given the opportunity to decide if United's actions were truly in bad faith.
Even if they had the contractual right to terminate.
You got it.
Wow, this case is really making me think, where do we draw the line between following the strict letter of a contract and considering what's fair and ethical? It's a gray area for sure.
Absolutely. And that's exactly what makes this case so compelling. It's not just a dry legal analysis.
Mm-mm.
It forces us to confront this fundamental tension between legal principles and, well, our sense of what's right.
I'm with you on that one. This is great food for thought.
So we've got this clash between upholding the sanctity of contracts and ensuring that justice is served.
Right.
And this case really brings that clash to the forefront.
It definitely does. It's a case that sticks with you long after you've read the legal briefs. It makes you think about the role of contracts in our society and how we can ensure they're used fairly.
You hit the nail on the head. And that's what we're all about here on The Deep Dive. We're not just regurgitating legal jargon. We're trying to grapple with these real-world dilemmas, these gray areas where the law intersects with our sense of what's right and wrong.
Absolutely. And I think United Airlines v. Good Taste is a perfect example of a case that sparks that kind of discussion.
I agree. It's a case that makes you think twice about assuming a contract will always be upheld, even if you're in the right.
Especially when big money is involved.
Exactly. It's a reminder that the law can be a double-edged sword, and that sometimes the letter of the law might not align with our intuitive sense of fairness.
Well said. I'm already eager to hear what else you've uncovered in your deep dive into this case.
Oh, we're just getting started. There's so much more to unpack here, especially when we look at the implications for businesses and for practicing lawyers.
I'm all ears. Lead the way.
All right, let's dive even deeper into United Airlines v. Good Taste. What else should we be paying attention to?
Well, I think it would be helpful to shift our focus to the jury's decision on the fraud claim.
Okay, the fraud claim. I see where you're going with this.
Right. It might seem like a side note, but it actually has big implications for understanding how this whole implied covenant issue plays out.
Gotcha. I'm following you, so fill me in.
Yep.
Why is that fraud verdict so important in the bigger picture?
Well, remember, Saucy Sisters claimed they were lured into this contract based on those verbal assurances from the United rep.
Right, those promises that the termination clause was only for extreme cases.
Exactly. And if those assurances were intentionally misleading, well, that could be considered fraud.
I see the connection.
But the jury said, nope, not buying it.
Mm.
They didn't believe United had intentionally tricked Saucy Sisters into signing the deal.
Interesting. So that finding kind of complicates things, right? Because if there's no fraud, then United terminating the contract, even if it was a harsh move,
yeah,
it starts to look more like just a hard-nosed business decision rather than some evil scheme to destroy Saucy Sisters.
Exactly. Now, it throws a wrench in that whole good faith argument.
I'm starting to see how this all fits together.
This case is like a puzzle, isn't it? All the pieces are connected.
It is. And we're putting those pieces together right here on The Deep Dive.
Love it.
So let's keep digging. We got a lot more ground to cover.
I'm ready when you are. It really does. Right. It throws a wrench into that whole good faith argument. Because if United didn't commit fraud, if they didn't intentionally mislead Saucy Sisters, then terminating the contract.
Yeah.
Even if it seems harsh, it looks more like a straightforward business decision, you know?
Right. Like, they weren't being sneaky or malicious. They were just playing hardball.
Exactly. And that's a key distinction in contract law, the implied covenant of good faith and fair dealing. It's not about punishing companies for making tough calls or driving a hard bargain.
So it's not about protecting businesses from any negative consequences of a contract.
Mm.
It's more about preventing them from being shady and how they handle the agreement.
You got it. It's about making sure everyone's playing by the rules, being honest and upfront, not trying to pull a fast one.
Okay, so just because a business decision has negative consequences for the other side, it doesn't automatically mean they're breaching good faith.
Exactly. There has to be something more, something that suggests a lack of honesty or fairness in how the contract was carried out or how it was terminated.
Hmm. See, it's like that line between a tough but fair business decision and a breach of good faith.
Yeah.
It can be pretty blurry sometimes.
It definitely can be. And that's what makes cases like this one so fascinating. They force us to wrestle with these complex issues and try to make sense of the sometimes conflicting principles of contract law.
Absolutely. So much gray area.
Right. It's not always black and white.
Okay. So we've talked a lot about the legal intricacies of this case, but let's put on our practical thinking caps for a second. Let's say I'm a business owner, just like Saucy Sisters.
Okay.
What could I have done differently to avoid ending up in this kind of legal mess? What are the key takeaways for our listeners?
That's an excellent question, and one that I think a lot of people listening are probably asking themselves right now.
Right. Because most of us aren't legal experts. We just want to run our businesses and avoid getting caught in these kinds of contractual nightmares.
Absolutely. So let's put ourselves in Saucy Sisters' shoes. What could they have done to protect themselves?
Well, we've touched on this before, but I think it's worth repeating. Get everything in writing. No handshake deals, no matter how trustworthy the other party might seem.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. A solid written contract is your first line of defense. Make sure it's clear, comprehensive, and that it accurately reflects the entire agreement.
So basically, if it's not in the contract, it doesn't exist.
Essentially, yes. Now, on top of having a rock-solid written contract, there are a few other things Saucy Sisters could have done to mitigate their risk.
I'm all ears. Tell me more.
Well, they could have dug a little deeper into United Airlines' background before signing on the dotted line. You know, done their homework.
You mean like a background check? Like you would for a potential employee?
Sort of. It's called due diligence. And it's basically a process of investigating and researching a company or an individual before you make a big business decision like signing a contract or investing a lot of money.
So in this case, Saucy Sisters could have looked into United Airlines' financial stability, their reputation with other vendors, their track record with contracts.
Exactly. Due diligence can help you spot potential red flags or warning signs that might make you rethink the deal, or at least approach it with more caution.
That's interesting. I wonder if they would have found anything concerning if they'd done their due diligence on United.
It's impossible to say for sure, but they might have uncovered information about similar situations where United ended contracts early, even when other businesses had invested heavily based on those agreements.
Wow, that would have been a huge red flag. Maybe they would have walked away or at least negotiated a different deal.
Exactly. And that brings us to another important point. Even with a well-drafted contract and thorough due diligence, there's always some level of risk involved in business.
Right. You can't plan for every possibility.
You can't, but you can try to manage that risk. And one way to do that in contractual relationships is to include provisions that offer some protection if things go south.
Interesting. Like what kind of protective provisions are we talking about here?
Well, for starters, Saucy Sisters could have fought for a longer notice period for termination.
Okay. Yeah. Instead of just 90 days, maybe they could have pushed for 6 months or even a year.
Exactly. That would have given them more time to adjust and find new clients if United decided to cut them loose.
It would have softened the blow for sure.
Right. It wouldn't have been such a sudden and devastating loss.
Makes sense. So longer notice periods, got it. What other safeguards could they have considered?
Well, they could have also tried to negotiate a clause that limited United's ability to terminate the contract without cause.
Like how?
For example, they could have proposed a clause that required United to demonstrate a legitimate business reason for terminating the contract, like a significant drop in demand for catering services or some other unforeseen circumstance that made it impossible for them to fulfill their obligations.
So basically putting some constraints on United's ability to just walk away from the deal whenever they felt like it.
Precisely. Of course, whether United would have agreed to those kinds of provisions is another question. They held most of the cards in this situation, so Saucy Sisters might not have had much leverage.
Right. It's a negotiation after all. Everyone's trying to get the best deal for themselves.
Exactly. But the point is, it's crucial to be aware of the potential risks and try to minimize those risks through careful contract drafting and savvy negotiation tactics.
So the big takeaway is approach contracts with a healthy dose of caution and always be ready for the possibility that things might not go as planned.
Absolutely. Contracts aren't foolproof guarantees. Their frameworks for relationships and relationships can be unpredictable, especially in the business world.
Well said. This case really underscores the importance of thinking ahead and protecting yourself legally. But I'm also curious about the bigger picture implications here.
I'm glad you brought that up. United Airlines may be for way. Good taste isn't just about catering contracts and termination clauses. It's a window into a much broader discussion about the role of contracts in society and the ethical dilemmas they can present.
Ooh, now you've really got my attention. Tell me more. What are some of those bigger picture issues that this case brings to light?
Well, one of the most fundamental questions is how do we balance the need for contractual certainty with the pursuit of fairness? You know, we want contracts to be reliable and enforceable. We want people to be able to trust that the agreements they make will be upheld.
Right, that predictability is important.
It's crucial. For a stable legal system and a functioning economy, we need to know that contracts will be honored.
Yeah, I can see that. Contracts are the backbone of business.
Yeah.
Without them, everything would be chaotic.
Exactly. But here's the other side of the coin. We don't want the law to become a tool for exploitation. We don't want to create a system where one party can use a cleverly worded contract to take advantage of another party, even if it's technically legal.
So it's about finding that balance between upholding agreements and preventing harm.
Exactly. And that balance can be tough to find.
It seems like United Airlines v. Good Taste perfectly illustrates just how difficult it can be to strike that balance.
It does. This case shines a light on a tension that exists at the heart of contract law. It forces us to ask ourselves, what role should ethics play in the interpretation and enforcement of contracts?
Those are some deep questions. And I think they're questions that everyone, not just lawyers, should be thinking about.
I agree. Because contracts are everywhere in our lives, and understanding how they work and the ethical considerations they raise is essential for navigating the modern world.
This whole discussion makes me wonder if there's a better way to approach contracts. Maybe we need to move away from this traditional adversarial model, where it's all about each side trying to outsmart the other.
That's an interesting thought. Maybe we need to encourage a more collaborative approach to contracting, where both sides work together to create an agreement that's mutually beneficial and avoids these kinds of ethical pitfalls.
I love that idea.
Yeah.
Maybe we can dive into that concept in a future episode.
I'd be happy to explore that with you.
All right, so we've talked about the legal details, the ethical implications, and even brainstormed some alternative ways to think about contracts.
Yeah.
But I still have one big question.
Okay, what is it?
What ultimately happened to Saucy Sisters? Did they bounce back after this whole ordeal with United Airlines?
That's a great question, and one that I'm sure many listeners are curious about. Unfortunately, the legal record doesn't provide much detail about what happened to Saucy Sisters after the case concluded.
Ah, so we're left hanging. No dramatic finale to their story.
Not exactly. But I think we can use our imaginations a bit, informed by what we've learned about contract law and the importance of protecting yourself in business dealings.
Okay, I'm game. Let's speculate a bit. What do you think happened to Saucy Sisters?
Well, I imagine this experience was a harsh wake-up call for them. Losing $1 million contract and going through a lengthy legal battle is no walk in the park.
Yeah, it must have been a real roller coaster ride, emotionally and financially.
Absolutely. But I like to think that they learned some valuable lessons from this experience. Lessons about the importance of clear contracts, thorough due diligence, and smart negotiation.
So they dusted themselves off, picked up the pieces, and came back stronger, armed with a newfound understanding of contract law.
That's what I hope I imagine. They imagine they use this experience to refine their business practices, tighten up their contracts, and become even more savvy negotiators.
It's a classic underdog story. They got knocked down, but they got back up wiser and more resilient than before.
Exactly. And I think there's a lesson in that for all of us, whether you're a lawyer, a business owner, or just navigating the complexities of contracts in your everyday life. The key is to learn from our experiences, both the good and the bad.
Absolutely. It's not about avoiding mistakes altogether, but about using those mistakes as opportunities for growth and learning.
That's the spirit. And I think that's a perfect note to end our discussion of United Airlines v. Good Taste.
I agree. We've covered a lot of ground today exploring the legal nuances, the practical implications, and even the ethical dilemmas that this case presents.
It's been a fascinating journey through the world of contract law.
It has. But before we wrap up completely, I want to leave our listeners with a final thought-provoking question to ponder.
I love ending on a thought-provoking note. What do you have in mind?
Well, we've talked a lot about how the law can sometimes feel at odds with our sense of fairness. But what if we could change that? What if we create a legal system where those two principles are more closely aligned?
That's a great question, and one that legal scholars and policymakers have been grappling with for centuries. It's a complex issue with no easy solutions.
Right, but I think it's a conversation worth having, because if we can find a way to make the law more just and equitable, we can create a better world for everyone.
Absolutely. And that's what the deep dive is all about, encouraging critical thinking and sparking meaningful conversations about the intersection of law and society.
I couldn't have said it better myself. So, dear listeners, we leave you with this challenge. How can we bridge the gap between legal principles and our sense of fairness?
It's a question that deserves our attention and our thoughtful consideration.
And that's a wrap for this episode of The Deep Dive. Until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep those legal minds sharp.
See you all on the next Deep Dive.
All right, so as we wrap up our deep dive into United Airlines v. Good Taste, let's try to distill this down to some key takeaways. What are the big lessons here, especially for our listeners who are lawyers or law students?
Yeah, definitely. I think one of the most glaring takeaways is just how powerful clear contract drafting can be. You know, United Airlines, they had that termination clause, but it wasn't as ironclad as it could have been.
Right. And if they'd been more upfront, more explicit about their right to terminate for any reason, maybe Saucy Sisters would have thought twice. Or maybe this whole legal battle could have been avoided.
That's the key point, really. For lawyers, for anyone who's drafting contracts, this case just screams be specific. Don't leave any wiggle room for interpretation, especially when it comes to those crucial things like termination rights.
It's like that old saying, hope for the best, but prepare for the worst. You got to anticipate those worst case scenarios and make sure your contract protects you, even if you think or you hope that everything's going to go smoothly.
Exactly. And on the flip side, if you're the party with, let's say, less bargaining power, like Saucy Sisters was in this situation, you need to be extra, extra vigilant about protecting your own interests.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Don't be afraid to push back a little, to negotiate for terms that are more favorable. And like we discussed earlier, doing that thorough due diligence beforehand is crucial.
Totally. Research the other party, look for any red flags, and if something, even a little thing, feels off, don't be afraid to walk away.
Yeah, sometimes the best deal you make is the one you don't make.
Yeah.
It's better to be safe than sorry, especially when you're talking about a significant investment like what Saucy Sisters put on the line.
Couldn't agree more. And I think this case also just really highlights that tension that always exists between, you know, that strict contract enforcement and that pursuit of fairness.
Right. That age-old question, should the law always favor the letter of the contract, even if it ends up, you know, creating an outcome that just seems unjust? What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, man, it's a tough one. It's such a complex issue. There's no easy answers. But cases like United Airlines v. Good Taste force us to confront that question, you know, head on. It makes us think critically about the role of contracts in society and I think the limits of contractual freedom.
And I think that's a great point to leave our listeners with today. This case, it's not just some legal curiosity, you know, it's a microcosm of this much larger debate about fairness, about justice, and those power dynamics that often come into play in, you know, in contractual relationships.
Absolutely. It really challenges all of us to think beyond just the black and white of legal precedent and look at those broader ethical implications. How are we using contracts? How are we interpreting them?
So as we sign off today, we really want to encourage you to keep pondering this question. Where should we draw the line? How do we balance upholding the sanctity of contracts while also making sure that ultimately justice is served? It's a tough one, but it's a discussion worth having and one that has implications far beyond contract law, right?
Absolutely. And remember, the law, it's a constantly evolving landscape. Cases like this one, United Airlines v. Good Taste, they remind us that legal principles are always being tested and refined. You know, they're being put through the ringer in these real-world disputes.
It's like a constant reminder that we all have a role to play in shaping the legal landscape, whether we're lawyers, business owners, or just engaged citizens. By staying informed, by asking those tough questions, advocating for a more just and equitable system, we can make a difference.
I completely agree. It's been great diving deep into this fascinating case with you.
The pleasure was all mine. And to all our listeners out there, thank you for joining us on this journey. Until next time, keep those legal minds sharp and always remember to read the fine print.